This is the sermon for November 30th, 2025. The sermon text is Matthew 21, verses 1 through 9. So we'll begin this morning by opening up to the small catechism in your hymnals, page 324. And you'll want to leave them open, as we'll come back to them later on in the sermon here. Let's say together the third petition of the Lord's Prayer. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What does this mean? The good and gracious will of God is done even without our prayer, but we pray in this petition that it may be done among us also. It's an interesting point to ponder if you think about it, that God's will is done regardless of whether or not you or I pray for it to be done. You might wonder, well, why bother praying then? Does it matter? Does what I do matter? And yet, as we consider our gospel text for this first Sunday in Advent, we actually see both that it is a very good thing that the Lord's will doesn't rely on us, and then also that it's a very good thing, a blessing, when we recognize His will and desire it to be done among us also. So today we heard of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, riding on the donkey, crowds casting their cloaks on the road and waving palm branches while crying out, "Hosanna to the Son of David." It has the appearance of a triumph, and note that the triumph is more than just an appearance, right? This is coming triumph of God's plan of salvation. Jesus has come to Jerusalem for His great battle with sin and death. Before the week ends, He will have faced the forces of hell and darkness upon the cross. He will bear the awful burden of humanity's sin and wiped it away with His holy, precious blood and His innocent suffering and death. Jesus is riding into Jerusalem to fulfill ancient prophecies, promises of redemption that God had given to man from the moment we fell into sin. St. Matthew, who loves to emphasize the fulfillment of prophecy in his gospel, points this out for us, noting that Jesus is doing exactly what had been foretold centuries before through the prophet Zechariah. The prophet said, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." God's grand plan was coming to fulfillment. And yet, interestingly, note what God the Holy Spirit tells us about the fulfillment of this plan. One verse before the actual quotation of the prophecy, we read this. "This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet." Okay, what is this? What is this that took place to fulfill the prophecy? Well, the "this" is Jesus instructing two of His disciples to go fetch some donkeys. Now, does that seem like the great working of God or an everyday errand? To be sure, there are miraculous elements within this errand. Jesus divinely knows exactly where the donkeys will be, that it will be a donkey and her colt. He also gives the disciples the exact words to speak so that when someone understandably asks why these two guys are taking their donkeys, they'll hear the words of Jesus and let them go at once. But if you were one of those two disciples on the way to fetch donkeys, would you have considered yourself to be carrying out the divine will of God foretold through prophecy? Or would it have just seemed like another errand? You know, rather mundane, maybe even a little confusing. Yet note the words of Jesus, specifically the ones He tells His disciples to speak. The Lord needs them. The Lord, God, the Creator Himself, has need of two donkeys. Now, could Jesus have, I don't know, miraculously flown into Jerusalem or just suddenly appeared there or even, you know, made two donkeys from nothing as He did at the beginning? Of course He could have. He's God. He has the power to do whatever He pleases. But in His infinite wisdom, He chose to make these two donkeys and the two disciples and the donkey's owners all part of His plan. So the disciples obediently head into the village, trusting in the words of Jesus. And as it turns out, everything is exactly as Jesus foretold. The donkeys are where Jesus said they'd be, and the words that Jesus gave them to speak caused the owners to let them take the donkeys at once. Right? Here we have an example of the good and gracious will of God being done among his people. The disciples didn't know what was about to happen and what Jesus riding these donkeys into Jerusalem would set off, right? The events that would follow. Nor did the owners of the donkeys. And if either the disciples or the owners had refused, God's will still would have been accomplished. But the disciples had trusted in the words of Christ, and so the Lord worked through them, blessing them to be his instruments as he brought about his will. Still today, the Lord God continues to bring about his good and gracious will. Grab your hymnals again. Let's look at the next part of the third petition. The next question, how is God's will done? God's will is done when he breaks and hinders every evil plan and purpose of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature, which do not want us to hallow God's name or let his kingdom come, and when he strengthens and keeps us firm in his word and faith until we die. This is his good and gracious will. God's grand plan still continues, whereby he accomplishes great things. I mean, listen to what we confess there, right? Breaking and hindering the plans of evil, driving back the devil, exposing the lies of the world, curbing our flesh's sinful desires. Our God is fighting and conquering darkness on a truly cosmic scale. And as he drives back evil, he blesses with good. He strengthens us in our faith. He keeps us steadfast in his word. He's our great captain and king, leading us on to the final glorious victory at the end of the age. Yet, for as awe-inspiring as our Lord's ongoing victory is, as he brings about his good and gracious will, it involves many seemingly ordinary events. Yes, there are moments where the grand scale could be seen, right? Think about Jesus seeing Satan fall like lightning from heaven, or when the Savior bears the weight of the world's sin on the cross and the Father has to look away, plunging the whole earth into darkness for 3 hours. Or when Jesus victoriously calls out, "It is finished," and the earth quakes and the temple curtain is torn in half and many holy people emerge from their tombs, right? Pretty awesome stuff. But much more often, the Lord's will is driving back the darkness, shining forth his light. It takes place through the more ordinary appearing things in the lives of his people. As one example, right, your Lord commands you to be in his word, right, in the Bible. Through abiding in his word, you truly are his disciples. Now, perhaps there are times when you read it and you have the light bulb come on as the Holy Spirit shows you something you'd never considered before. But often you might read the Bible and then set it down and not really be sure what the exact benefit of that was. Maybe you're in the Minor Prophets and wondering, what does some of this imagery mean? Or you're puzzling over the meaning of one of Jesus' parables. Or you're wondering if or how the book of Leviticus still applies today. Like Jesus' command to his disciples concerning the donkeys, maybe you fully don't understand what's going on. But the thing is, God has promised to work through his word. Jesus says that the scriptures testify to him, and that his words are spirit and life. The word is the sword of the spirit, which drives back the devil, cuts through his lies. When you dwell on the word, the Holy Spirit is using that to strengthen your faith, even if you don't understand how he's doing it at the moment. Or as another example, consider our Lord's command to gather together every week around his word. Maybe to human reason, the command seems excessive or unnecessary. People skip church all the time. What's the big deal? Perhaps the disciples thought along these lines when Jesus sent them for donkeys. We've walked everywhere up to this point, including all our previous visits to Jerusalem. Why does he need donkeys now? And yet, Jesus had clearly said, the Lord needs them. The Lord tells his church not to neglect gathering together, even though it's the habit of some. He doesn't tell us this because he's a petty God who just likes making rules and forcing people to follow them, but because he's a loving God who desires what's best for his people. In the same place where he commands us not to neglect gathering together, right? That's in Hebrews. Same place he tells us that we come together in order to stir one another up to love and to good works and to encourage one another. When we gather, our Lord uses us to show his love to one another, to encourage and uplift each other, which is so important as the world outside seems to be growing darker and darker. Christ uses fellow Christians to strengthen and keep each other firm in his word and faith. Like the two disciples and the owners of the donkeys, God continues to work through people to bring about his good and gracious will. And when we recognize it and participate in it, he blesses us. And this is true outside the church building as well. Stirring each other up to love and good works, encouraging one another. This takes place in our day-to-day lives. Having received God's love, we can show that love to a world whose love is both growing cold and also being twisted into perversions far removed from actual love. When we walk in the footsteps of our Lord, keeping his commandments and doing good works as he defines good works, well, then we show the goodness of God to the world. When we speak the words of our Lord, words of truth, then we are being used by the Lord to break and hinder the devil's evil plans and purposes, right? The schemes. It's all part of God's will. We might not think that the word will work, and maybe it doesn't even really make sense sometimes. Sort of like, you know, telling a donkey's owners that, hey, God needs these, we'll be taking them now, you know, will somehow change their minds. But God's power is present in his word, whether it's coming from his mouth made flesh in Jesus or from the mouths of his people in whom his spirit dwells. As you show God's love and truth and goodness to the world around you, you are being used by God to bring about his holy will. You might wonder how ordinary little actions of Christian living could be part of the grand design of the Almighty. You might not see the results immediately or at any point in this life. But just as a seemingly mundane errand was used to fulfill a centuries-old prophecy, your words and actions as Christians are used by God in ways far beyond the scope of any one person. As our gospel lesson teaches us, our Lord is constantly at work to bring about his good and gracious will. He works in great and awesome ways. He works in ways so mundane that no one even notices, and everything in between. As Christ's people, we therefore have both the comfort of knowing that God's will is always done, and the blessing that comes when we allow his will to be done among us also. And so we pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In the name of Jesus, amen.